Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Fellow redeemed, this week we reach the halfway point of the season of Easter. We continue to celebrate and rejoice that Jesus, who was crucified, is risen from the dead. Our Lord lives. The empty tomb shouts loud and clear, sin is paid for, death is undone, hell is overthrown. Now, while we continue to celebrate Jesus' resurrection, the gospel for this day, as well as for the final 3 weeks of Easter, does something a little interesting. It actually places us before Jesus' crucifixion. Specifically, it places us on that Holy Thursday, the night when Jesus was betrayed. And this seems a little strange at first, don't you think? Maybe you are thinking, shouldn't we be focusing on those post-resurrection narratives? And yet it's important to understand that the gospel for this day is strategically placed within the season of Easter. It would remind us that Jesus' crucifixion must precede his resurrection. Ultimately, suffering always precedes joy. On the night when Jesus is betrayed, Jesus says to his disciples, "A little while and you will not see me, or you will see me no longer, and again, a little while and you will see me." Like so many times before, Jesus predicts his own death and resurrection. A little while, that is, within a few hours, within that day, you will see me no longer. Jesus would be removed from their sight. He'll be betrayed into the hands of the Jews. He'll be mocked, beaten, crucified. He'll be laid dead. His dead body will be laid in a tomb. His disciples will not see him. And then yet, after a little while, that is, on the third day, the disciples would see him again, alive. And yet, like so many times before, the disciples are confused by Jesus' words. They talk among themselves. What is this that he's saying to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I'm going to the Father. So they were saying, what does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he's talking about. The disciples had walked with Jesus for over 3 years. They heard Jesus' prediction of his crucifixion, death, resurrection, multiple occasions. He must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests and scribes, be killed, and on the third day rise, as he says. And with those words being fulfilled, they couldn't make sense of Jesus' little while. The disciples' response to Jesus' words, in many ways, shouldn't come as a surprise to us. Even among God's saints today, the sinful flesh criticizes, judges Christ's word. The old Adam wants to judge his word according to the fallen human reason. And yet, to their confusion, Jesus lovingly comes alongside of them. Says, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament. The world will rejoice. It's as if he's saying, this night I will be taken from you. I'll be crucified. I'll be buried. Then you will encounter sorrow and distress. You will weep and lament over your sins. Your sins of betraying me. Your sins of denying me. Your sins of doubting me and my word. You will be void of any consolation. To all of this, the world will rejoice over my death. They hate me in the word that I speak. They rejoice when my life is ended and my word is silenced. And yet Jesus also speaks words of comfort. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. Jesus is assuring them with these words, "After a little while, I will raise from the dead on the third day to comfort you. I will speak words of peace to you. To your sinful failures, I will forgive you. Though you may afterwards be forced to suffer contempt, cross, and persecution for my sake, your suffering will only be temporary, but your joy that will follow will be eternal. You will be sorrowful." As Jesus spoke these words to his disciples on that night when he was betrayed, he also speaks these words to you, his disciples, today. You will be sorrowful. We weep and lament before we rejoice. While we certainly weep and lament over the effects of sins that we see out in the world, first and foremost, we weep and lament over our sin. This isn't because our sin has hurt us or brought us some sort of misfortune, but we weep because our sin offends God. Consider what we confess today. We have sinned against you, God, in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, by what we have left undone. We are truly deserving of God's temporal and eternal punishment, his just punishment for our sins. We weep and lament over them. And then how does the world respond to this? While we weep and lament, the world is rejoicing, isn't it? What we believe, teach, and confess is nonsense to the world. It's folly. It's foolish. The world takes joy in the sinful passions of the flesh, doesn't it? Turn on your TV, go online, open the newspaper, consider what you're seeing. The world finds joy in blaspheming the cross of Christ. The world finds joy in blaspheming those gifts that Jesus has given to his bride, the church. Forgiveness of sins, holy baptism, the Lord's Supper. The world finds joy in the church's trials, even adds to them by persecuting her. And yet we, as the church, still weep, lament over our sins, the world's decay, the miseries of our neighbor in a fallen world. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful." In the midst of the sorrow, though, Jesus doesn't leave you to despair. The world's joy doesn't last forever. The world's joy will one day turn to sorrow. And as for God's disciples, Jesus says, your sorrow will turn to joy. And the illustration that Jesus used is that of a woman in the midst of the pains of childbirth. Now, we've come to take this lightly on account of the medical advancements. But giving birth is painful, dangerous thing. Next to death, the most prominent curse of Adam's fall into sin is the pains of childbirth. What should be one of the most joyous moments in life, that is a woman bringing forth new life in a child, is in a moment filled with sorrow specifically because of sin. The blessed gift of the birth of a child is bloody, painful, dangerous. And yet, once a woman is through the pains of birth, there is great joy. What seemed like an eternity is but a little while. There is great joy through suffering. Like a woman in the midst of the pains of childbirth, the little whiles of sorrow that you experience in this life will give way to joy without end. Amidst the little wiles of this passing world, Jesus promises an eternal while. Your heart will rejoice, and no one, he says, will take your joy from you. The joy that Jesus promises is the joy of being forgiven of all of your sins. The joy of being set at peace with God. All that Jesus did, he did it for you. He kept the law perfectly in your place. He bore your sins, your illnesses, your diseases. On the cross, he suffered the entire punishment of your sins so that you would receive the benefit of his obedience and suffering. That is forgiveness of your sins, eternal life and salvation. And through his precious blood, there is joy. You've been set at peace with God. The little while in which we live will give way to the eternal joy of heaven. And while you can't see it now with your physical eyes, it doesn't mean that the joy hasn't already begun. Joy doesn't depend upon what you see and what you feel. It depends upon what God says to you. God gives you a glimpse of eternity in the gospel of Christ. It's a blessed reality that's as sure and certain as Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. He binds himself to you in your baptism, where he puts on you the robe of righteousness, where he calls you his beloved child. He puts into your body the medicine of immortality that is his very body and blood for the forgiveness of all of your sins, in strengthening and preserving you in body and soul. This is how Jesus appears to us and gives us the joy that will never end. Fellow redeemed, there's no reason for you to despair over your troubles, as if God himself is blind to your troubles, as if he's deaf to your prayers. Look at how the Son returned to the Father. Look at the route he took. When you feel the weight of your sins, when you feel the doubts rise up in your heart, when you see the world rejoicing and you being sorrowful, don't trust in what you see. Don't trust in what you feel. Instead, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus bearing the weight of your sins on the cross. Look to the resurrection, his resurrection from the dead. There is the foundation of your joy, because there all causes of sadness is removed forever. Listen to Jesus. Listen to what he says. And he says, your joy no one will take from you. And this promise is sealed by his blood. You can rest on this promise, and you can rejoice in it. God be praised. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.